Shoes.
Recorded live.
Well, hello everybody. TalkShoe just went ahead and kicked me off in Internet Explorer, and I had to go ahead and open up a different browser and log back on. Sorry about that. That's just the way these things sort of go. Looks like the chat room. I'm not able to go ahead and get into the chat room just yet. Let me see. Well, I'm not going to go ahead and terminate. I guess if I'm not able to go into the chat, I'm just going to have to go ahead and live with it as it is. Okay. What happens is that it's been a week since I did a movement turn, but earlier this evening I went ahead and this nigger preacher wanted me to go ahead and talk to him. He wasn't all that smart a nigger. Essentially, he sort of thinks that his wants outweigh reality, i.e. what Uyghurs are able to go ahead and pay. And, he was going on and on and on. And I pretty well asked him why he actually wanted to talk to an Aryan Nations pastor. He didn't really have that big of a show. But I went ahead and tried to tell him a few of the realities. I was polite. I didn't call him a damn nigger or nothing. I mean, sometimes there comes a time to be polite. Time not to be polite. It's sort of like when Ezola Foster, Pat Buchanan's little running primate, actually trying to enter my hotel room around 12:15 in the evening, and Pat Buchanan had gone ahead and denounced me for racism and how awful I was, obscene because of the way I thought, and Pat Buchanan's just nothing more but a whore. But, this little nigger woman, she listened to her bellhop, and the number was sort of the same here. So she actually tried to enter my door, and I sort of thought it was my friend who was spending the night with his father across the room coming in, and I'd just been told that we'd be kicked out as part of the Missouri delegation, even though we were the only ones actually elected by the people in our congressional district. And they're going to go ahead and do just like all these little minor third parties do, and they're going to go ahead and just do whatever the hell they want to, and you know, talk about how they were the Reform Party. Well, anyway, she actually gently tried to air my room. Here she sees a big old white man, nearly twice her size, you know, clad in nothing but the very skimpiest of bikini underwear, and she's sort of embarrassed. And I was polite to her, but it made the front page because I went ahead and talked to this Nashville Times journalist. And of all the people, like this smart guy, one good smart guy named Frank Reed said, of all the people, she had to try to go ahead and enter his room while it was of the biggest racists in the state who Pat Buchanan had denounced for racism. You know, because I was serious about my racism, and Pat Buchanan, he was just a little liar and a thief. And he couldn't go ahead and admit to his racism. So, in any case, moving on, I was honest about my racism, but on the other hand, I was polite to her. And she went ahead and admitted that what I said was true, that she had tried to accidentally enter the room of the white supremacist who Pat Buchanan denounced as being racist in 2000, a little bit over a year, you know, a year previously. And it came about because I was polite. I didn't call her a damn nigger. I didn't call her Ebola Gates, which is why I used to call her all the time. No, I was polite to her. And as a result, everything went well. The same way with this particular nigger. Now, in the case of Visser, in the case of the Wallner, I don't bother to be polite. If you go ahead and listen to their show, which I went ahead and uploaded, not all the gear successfully, about 15 minutes are cut off at the end, but I'll go ahead and reload it. You know, it's the Movement Turd 9.5. And what they do is that these liars get together and they tell all sorts of stuff here that they dug off the internet. You know, from Neosho Forum, some lying sack of shit went ahead and said that my mother, you know, smears her shit over restroom walls, and she doesn't. She isn't too bright. And like a lot of people here, she, you know, someday, soon, in some cases now, she could do with a pair of Depends. But Roxy, what she used to do when she used to drive her around, used to go ahead and just put in a blanket. We were going to take her up to South Dakota with us or something like that and have her pay for the gas money. We'd go ahead and have her sit on a blanket. And then when it came back, well, we'd make her take a shower. We'd make her wash her clothes every so often. But, hey, I mean, she's getting to the age where she could probably use with a good pair of Depends. But she doesn't smear shit on the wall. But here they are going ahead and repeating that. And Lion Wonger's latest trick was to go ahead and look at somebody who Pastor John Britton had put on his Facebook account as being him. And, you know, the guy was a white guy, muscular white guy. You'd probably beat the crap out of the Wonger or the Pisser, you know, no time flat. But he had a big old belly. Oh, he's unhealthy. He's this. He's that. Well, what happens? That wasn't John Britton's picture. And I advise him to go ahead and let the Wonger and the Pisser believe that was his picture, so they stop digging. But they're back to digging and they're whining. Oh, why did he do this here? Well, look, when you're dealing with thieves and liars and criminals and mamzers, sometimes it pays to be an Israelite with a good deal of guile. But John's a little bit too honest for his own good. If it'd been up to me, I'd go ahead and let them cackle and laugh and joke or whatever. Actually, John's a fairly trim man from what I've seen of his picture, but it took me 4 years, 4.5 years before he trusted me enough to go ahead and show me his picture, because his family has undergone a lot of persecution because he's the, you know, nephew of Newman Britton, and you know, James Britton was also a wandering, you know, circuit pastor. to these various Christianity churches in the South and in the West. And they went ahead and have suffered a good deal of persecution, so they sort of keep a low profile. Now, John has no control over what his oldest daughter does, and his oldest daughter, if she wants to go ahead and dye her hair black, she can. You know, the latest thing they're doing is they're showing a picture of her with a black eye as if it's John who went ahead and gave it to her. And the truth of the matter is that it was her husband, and John was trying to go ahead, and he beat her quite a bit, and John was trying to go ahead and get a divorce, and she decided to go ahead and turn on John and her lawyer, divorce lawyer, and the Mormon Church, which had listened to her talk and whine about how she was beaten up and how her husband was a violent man. He is a violent man with a number of very bad problems, which I won't get into. But he's the one who went ahead and made her look like a raccoon. But they're pretending that John did it. So as a result, these people are mining for data. And if you go ahead and listen to the two and a half hour show, and I encourage anybody to listen to it. Because, you know, throughout all the lies, just like all liars, they have to go ahead and tell some truth to the matter. And what is admitted in that, and I went ahead and transcribed it. You know, let me see. I'm looking at it. And it's the same thing that I went ahead and it's the same thing I went ahead and noticed. You know, first thing, you know, right off is that, guess what? I mean, you can, let me see. First one is he goes in here and let's see. Okay. What happens is Brian Wright, he went to Montana in 2004. At this thing organized by James Dillavu. And the thing about it is, if you're Brian Wright's friend, he's going to betray you. The guy who organized was a guy named James Dillavu, and here's Brian Wright saying he's a Mamzer. No, he's a Cajun. Oh, James Dillavu is slant eyes. No, I don't know. John Britton says that James Dillavu has blue eyes, and they're not slanted. But Brian Wright's are. Brian Wright, he goes ahead and talks about his hazel blue eyes. Well, do you have hazel or blue eyes? Let me tell you. I say that Brian Wright is probably a cork-eyed Mamzer, a burnt cork-eyed Mamzer. Okay? He goes ahead 10 minutes and says how we went ahead and bought property right next to barley from some old seed liner. Well, guess what? If John Britton is a helicopter pilot who's making, barely $100,000 a year, can't afford property up in northern Idaho, How does a union electrical worker find the money? And the answer is that Zog's paying for that. Zog's trying to go ahead and get into Christianity, and they got a little cork-eyed Mamzer, cork-eyed, slant-eyed gook Mamzer named Brian Wright / Billy Woods to go ahead and get in there. So they didn't go ahead and tell about how long they'd been together, but they'd been together quite some time here. And let me see. So, anyway, this Brian Wright goes ahead and he whines about this, how this CI pastor glared at him and thought he was a Mamzer and cussed at him, said he was going to hell and all sort of thing here. And anyway, Gillette, you know, according to Brian Wright, went ahead and begged him and pleaded for him to become a pastor in Gillette's church. And that's probably the way Brian Wright remembers it, but I doubt that's the way it happened. In any case, Brian Wright was going ahead making the point that he can go ahead and kick old John Britton out because John Britton's a drunk, you know, a drunkard as well. He gets that from this lying piece of shit named, I used to call him Chaplain Bill, and then he called after I ordained him, Pastor Bill. His name is William Sean, DeClue. And I call him, chapped-ass liar Bill DeClueless. He went ahead and he begged me and Six Killer to go ahead and give him an ordination because he had an ordination from this clan. He couldn't get along with Tom Robb, and he couldn't get along with Ron Edwards. And Downey wouldn't go ahead and ordain him. So guess what? He's seeking an upgrade in his ordination, just like Brian Wright was when he went ahead and went along with Collette. But he goes on, and you know, in the thing here, he's yakking about how I live in squalor. Well, I like the way I live. I don't have any problem with the low standard of living. You know, I have plenty of money, I have plenty of food, I have a roof over my head, and I don't really care where people like the way I live. I mean, I'm not asking them to live with me, so what difference does it make? But he goes ahead and he whines about Johnny Mormon and how based upon this lie, why it's the truth now, and Brian Wright, he gets to go ahead and file a lawsuit against John Britton in order to go ahead and kick him out. And they're quarreling all the time as to whether or not there's money in Galette's church. And what I say is that some old guy in Ohio said there is a probated will for an estate worth over $400,000, but Zog won't turn loose of it. So, Brian Wright says there is, but, you know, he says there isn't. But they go ahead and he goes ahead and, you know, the scheme that he keeps on bringing through is that they get to kick out John Britton for being a drunkard, according to the bylaws. Well, guess what? The bylaws, Article 2, Section 2, says essentially the assistant senior pastor or the senior pastor can do whatever they want. They're not bound by any board member decision. And that is where I ended up in August 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th, having a big fight, or that is when I decided to go ahead and get rid of Visser. Thieving old Visser, who was plotting with Brian Wright to steal more Skelet's church. Because here comes Brian Wright, and he wants to go ahead and say, I've not been officially kicked out, you know, I'm not notified, right, I'm no longer a board member. What happens is I want to go ahead and call an emergency board meeting and kick John Britton out, put Visser in, and knowing a whole bunch of other people in there. And what happens is that both Visser and Brian Wright and everybody else, because it was on the page, knew that by May of 2007 that Brian Wright had resigned. And that's what the letters that he went ahead and posted from Galette admitted. So they knew that Brian Wright was no longer a member of Galette's church or much less a member of the board of directors. But yet they're going ahead and plotting to kick out John Britton and put Visser in. So I knew those two were, you know, putting their little mams or heads together, because according to Brian Wright, who as far as I can tell has dark black hair, some white in it, well, anybody with dark hair is a mamser. So guess what? I went ahead and looked at a picture of Visser, and Visser looks like, well, he looks like a Anglo-Mestizo, you know, dark haired, who, you know, typically is real thin because he has a meth problem. That's what he looks like. He looks like a cokehead or crackhead or a meth goober of some sort. He looks like trailer trash. As you go ahead and look at his Covenant People's Ministry, oh, by the way, he got 100,000 hits per week. But then again, on his YouTube channel, the most he has is 6,300 for a video that's been up over a year. So you would think that on the Pisser channel that he'd have, oh, several hundred thousand just going ahead and looking at, you know, just go ahead and looking at his video, but that's not the case. I think Visser is going ahead and counting the hits at the Library of Congress, where he used to go ahead and archive his sermons. Now he got a brand new server space and brand new vBulletin board. And he got it within, what, a month and a half? Well, I think pretty well Zog is furnishing Department of Zogland Insecurity Zogbucks out of a petty cash drawer to go ahead and pay for Visser's new pussy parlor. And by the way, there's hardly anybody on that new one. They're still staying over at what I call Pisser Cinder, because it's a cinder because it's been reduced to a ghetto. See, that's what happened when you go ahead and censor and ban everybody you disagree with. When you go ahead and do that, you end up forming a ghetto. And this is not, like John Britton said in a previous one, this is not the first time him or me have been to the rodeo. We've seen this happen before. It happened before when Andy Anderson and the rest of them. Anyway, I got news that he was going to do that here. And then by 20 minutes, you know, he's whining that John Britton didn't go to the Hammer Skins. Well, I have a post by Brian Wright, and I essentially accentuated it and showed that how Brian Wright essentially was, what he was doing is he was going ahead and trying to encourage John Britton to join the Volksfront Forum and go to this Volksfront meeting so that he could go ahead and have John Britton beaten up there. Now, John has been in a helicopter accident or two, and he got 4 shattered vertebrae. And, just like a lot of men our age here, when we get close to 50, we start feeling all those aches and pains that we shrugged off when we were younger. Me, I have a bad left hip. John has 4 broken fused vertebrae. And, essentially, we do what we have to do because we don't have any choice in the matter. We got to go ahead and, we're no longer 21 or 31 or even 41. And we have to go ahead and do that. But that doesn't mean that we look forward to having a fight with skinheads half our age. But Brian Wright has always gone ahead and used these people as cat's paws in order to go ahead and beat people up. And that's exactly what he was looking for. He went ahead and ambushed John Britton to join the Volksfront, and he was immediately jumped on by the members of Volksfront who Brian Wright had gone ahead and whipped up against them, and John Britton got banned from there. When we ran Brian Wright out in December 3rd or 8th of 2008, we followed him over to Volksfront, and from what I gather, he was not regarded there as anything more than just a yapping little mutt. And I looked at what their Christian Identity pastor from Florida had to say, and their Christian Identity pastor from Florida was nothing more than just a little, oh, He had a mixture of one-seed lionism and he had a mixture of creativity. So these people don't know anything about dual-seed like Christian Identity at all. I mean, look at what they had to say. It was sort of like looking at Diablo Negro's Pan-Aryan front about Christian Identity. They didn't know anything about it, neither did these Volksfront people. We found out that Brian Wright was not exactly a number one member. He was more like a little dog that hang around there and just stir up trouble. And when he came back in April of 2009, it was without the Volksfront people. We have no doubt that Randy Krager told Brian Wright to stop mentioning the name of Volksfront in vain. And I'm quite sure that Randy Krager has a bad reputation for being violent and being big and mean. And from what I gather, he doesn't really like fighting with Christian Dandy people unnecessarily. Now, I doubt that they refer to John Britton as a knucklehead, any more than they refer to Newman Britton or James Britton as a knucklehead. What John would tell me is that essentially the old-timers in the church, the elders of the church, have special status to where they go ahead and get, next to Butler when they had those area nation congresses. And the reason that Newman was chosen as Butler's first successor instead of James, because James disagreed with the way the church had gone. And when I asked him, why didn't James go ahead and just simply revolt, like Augustus Tri said, he said, no, that was not even thought of because Butler was a senior pastor. What happened is these older men actually believed in following a chain of command. But James Britton did not agree with the way that Wesley Swiss you know, former church was going, he'd say, well, why are you surrounding yourself with all this skinhead rabble? You know, Richard Butler didn't have anything to say. Some people thought it was because he was senile. And I sort of think it's because by this time he had nobody else to go. So I have no use for all the skinhead rabble and vermin and criminals who have gone ahead and who went ahead and ruined Pastor Butler's last years and who ended up founding the basis for the Rick Spring faction. And this is the last of the Rick Spring faction. Jonathan Edwards is gone. This Zach Kraft, who they're whining about, he was a Rick Spring sock puppet of some sort. I don't know if Rick Spring had a kid or if it was just Rick Spring imitating Zach Kraft, but this Zach Kraft went ahead and took down Gillette's webpage, Gillette's forum. Pretty well trashed it out. So this Zach Kraft was just a Rick Spring sock puppet. But Jonathan Williams, this Michael Burks, and the rest of them, they were all Zogbots. You have these criminals, and these criminals end up getting caught. In order to go ahead, they make a deal as best they can with the authorities. Part of the deal is you infiltrate the Aryan Nations, and you try to go ahead and take it down. Well, as a result of all this stupid crap, the Mamzers and the Whiggers and the Zogbots have been revealed. They've shown their side. The thing about it is in Christian Identity, there are not very many above-ground pastors left standing. You know, myself as a political pastor, John Britton. Let's see. William Fink, he doesn't wish to be a pastor. He wished to be a scholar. So politically, he's rather irrelevant. But since he's got out, he doesn't know who all these people are. And all these Whiggers and Mamzers go ahead and surround themselves, and they're looking for a hunk of whatever. Just like these little Whiggers used to go ahead and want to hunk a Butler, well, now they want to go ahead and associate themselves with Fink. And about, a couple weeks ago, here's old Matt Ott. You know, I call him Matt Twat Zogbot. And he comes in January and says, I'm Matt Ott, and here's my street address. I'm from Halifax, Pennsylvania. This is my phone number. I want all of you to go ahead and give me your phone number. Show that you're serious. And everybody's looking, what in the world is you talking about? Just because you go ahead and give your information doesn't mean, A, it's correct, that you are who you say, and maybe you're just a Zogbot. You don't have nothing to fear by giving your information. But we don't want to. And a lot of people dropped out of Fink's because they didn't trust it. You know, they didn't trust to be used. But anyway, this Matt Ott, him, this Judas the Juiced. What happens? You have these people you don't know anything about, and they get all mad because they want to be taken seriously, and they want to go ahead and tell people who've been in the movement for years what to do. And then they get mad because nothing can't overcome something. Look, if you don't like the way this church is being run, or any dual seed line is being run, you don't get to come in and force your way and tell other people what to do. You have to live with the way things are right now. Just like a California refugee, you don't get to go to Missouri and tell people how to do things, but yet they think they do. They want to turn their new place of safety into the same shithole that they fled. And the thing about it is you don't let this vermin who went ahead and ruined the old place they were in go ahead and turn this place into a dump as well, Chris and Danny. Anyway, I called William Fink up and told him that one of these little shitheads that he'd gone ahead and given moderator power to was talking about banning me and Pastor Britton on our own sub forum. And he went ahead and talked to old Matt Ott Zogbot. And essentially, let me talk to him. Well, here comes old Matt Twat Zogbot. He's whining, whining, whining. Well, you win again, Marty. You win again, Pastor Drzewski. And then he goes ahead and then he acts like he's just going to go ahead and suck up to me, and I'm not fooled. And that's the way these people are. They show up, and then they leave after they've gone ahead and torn things up here. Anyway, going on, 22, is that supposedly my father was an old CI guy? And the answer is no, not really. I have some cattle land, and, old Brian Wright was going ahead and yapping about how he'd like to go ahead and sue me for things I was saying about him, as if that's possible. And the fact of the matter is, look, Brian Wright, you have to go ahead and give your street address. You can't go ahead and give a post office box number. When you're filing a lawsuit, it'd have to be a federal lawsuit. What would you possibly file under? I mean, that's what gets me. These idiots go ahead and claim that I'm slandering them. Well, A, I'm telling the truth about them. And B, if you're not a real person here, you're just a little sock puppet, you're not going to be able to go ahead and file a lawsuit. Because let's say you call yourself Biggest Dickus here, and I go ahead and say Biggest Dickus is a total faggot. You can't go ahead and then go, well, this is my real name here, but when I was impersonating Biggest Dickus, he went ahead and called me a fake faggot. I want you to go ahead and sue for everything you got, and essentially the court will probably go ahead and take your $350 filing fee, which is about the average, and then laugh you out of court. Because you don't have a case. But, he was trying to go ahead and do this, and then they came out how I was collecting a disability check, and I wish I was, but then I probably could go ahead and collect a crazy check. I spent enough time in the nut house, but I don't feel like doing that. So he goes ahead, and let me see, Marty's a mudhead. Well, yeah, brown hair, but look longer. You're not blonde. You don't have blue eyes, and 27 minutes, longest change in religion. And then they're going on to where they spied on John Britton on Facebook. And then it's back to where the Wonger, where the Wonger said there was money and that the dead Nazi had a house and Gillette got the money. Well, not according to the guy in Ohio. So who do I believe? The Wonger and the pisser, or do I believe this old guy in Ohio who has no reason to lie to me? And the answer is I don't believe anything the Wonger or the pisser have to say. So, I mean, the pisser and Wonger think that they can go ahead and sue and get money out of the church, and they can't. Or they could get, they could sue John Britton or challenge him, and they can't. And then Brian Wright goes ahead and talks about how he got a big belly. And, that's pretty well what I heard. He's just a big, fat little, he's a big, fat, grease, he's a big, fat man's or grease ball is what Brian Wright is. He's not muscular. He's just pretty fat. So, went on and told me why I should have gone ahead and got a lawyer. And pointed out that I don't want any lawyer because they're the spawn of Satan. And how all these other people have lawyers, including the Wonger. The Wonger probably had a lawyer. The Wonger spent some time in jail. But, oh, by the way, the Wonger denies that he ever spent any time in jail. Why, he was only for 30 days in a trustee in the jail. Well, let me tell you, when you're in these county jails, they're not going to go ahead and let you have, they're not going to let you smoke, so therefore you're not going to have an open fire. Therefore, you're not going to go ahead, you're not allowed to have a needle. So they're not going to go ahead and let you do like the old days, or in prison where you can go ahead and steal a plastic spoon and then go ahead and melt that plastic spoon to go ahead and make some ink and then use a needle to go ahead and get yourself a prison tat. Those tats that the Wonger has are called prison sleeves. You don't get them in the county jail. In fact, if you end up having even a small tattoo in the county jail and they see it, they'll immediately go ahead and have a big shakedown and punish you for having an open flame, because you had to have an open flame in order to go ahead and burn the plastic spoon in order to make the ink in order to get the tattoo. So you didn't get that artwork, you didn't get that ink in the county jail. Those are prison tats. I wouldn't doubt it. But anyway, he goes on about John's father converted to Mormonism. Okay, let me see. James Britton, who was Newman Britton's father, converted to Mormonism? I don't think so. He goes on with Johnny Engines, children engines, something like that. Well, guess what? I mean, look, Wonger, you've been trying to go ahead and find a picture of John Britton. Well, when you find a picture of John Britton, you'll find a blonde, sort of lean, lean man with blonde hair, a full hair. He's not a chrome dome like you went ahead and said on other times here. Anyway, Visser, he don't like Britton. He goes on about how John Britton can't fly in Canada, which is bullshit. Wonger was never in prison, which is a lie. Let me see. John should go to Hammerskins and Volksfront and all these meetings where old Wonger used to go ahead and try to go ahead and have him ambushed and beat down. Back in 2008 or 2007. Some guy got invited there. He gave a speech. He was attacked by five or six skinheads at Volksfront in Missouri in front of his wife and his eight-year-old daughter. So don't give me this crap about how they're honorable people when they're not. They attack middle-aged men, and they have. And that's exactly what, Brian Wright wanted to do. There was a post about that, and that's exactly what Brian Wright intended to do. And I have a post, and I'll go ahead and send it there. Anyway, he had, by 49, he takes a swipe at Harold Covington, although he doesn't name his name, and, swipes at Northwest Migration. And Northwest Migration isn't exactly a Christian identity concept. We believe in Great Tribulation. But on the other hand, if you're a white man, not a mestizo Wonger like Brian Wright, you might as well go ahead and leave places like Florida or Mestizo, Texas, or Arizona or Southern California and go to the Northwest here. Now, I wouldn't exactly go to Washington or Oregon or Idaho. Idaho is real expensive. I'd probably go to Montana or something. And, I much prefer South Dakota because that's where I was born and raised here. Anyway, go on. He goes ahead and yaps about drunken hillbillies. John Vance votes for it. Well, yes, he was, thanks to you. Okay, he goes ahead. Let me see. Okay. Around 55, time 55, Visser goes ahead and tells a lie. He went ahead and he gave me money when I was in jail. And the answer is, no, he didn't. That's a lie. He didn't at all. Now, he said a sermon while I was in jail, and I thanked him, and Visser didn't have any more class than to go ahead and post about how I was a big fag because I sent a bunny card. Well, guess what? I was only allowed five envelopes, but I was allowed three cards, and those cards had an envelope in them. And I already had three of those letters, the envelopes, already used for what I had to go ahead and write to Roxy, to a friend of mine, and to Joe Johnson. So what I did is I sent Visser a small note written on a piece of plastic paper here, and I used one of those cards. Remember, I'm allowed to buy three of them. I went ahead and chose the most innocuous of the cards and sent them, and it had a little honey bear or something like that. Well, Visser goes ahead and cuts it up to where it looks like I went ahead and wrote, says, I'm pleased to be you or something like that. He goes ahead and he makes it like I went ahead and wrote it, but no, it's part of the card. But from what I gather, I went ahead and just wrote a thank you note thanking him for the sermon that he sent me. Just a measure of gratitude. It goes to show that Visser has absolutely no class. I guess he can't understand gratitude because he don't have none. But I went ahead and posted to that on a number of forums. And he goes ahead and they whine about James Von Brunn, about how Johnny supposedly hates Creatards or something like that. Well, most of the case, we don't have much use for Creatards because they go ahead and follow Benny Klassman, and a lot of the old Christianity people thought Benny Klassman was a pedophile Jew. And every time these creatards whine about, oh, us Christians worship a dead Jew on a stick, we kick back and say, hey, you worship a dead Jew on a stick. But John Britton and James von Brunn were fairly close together. I think they were somewhat related. They're related, but also James von Brunn, why he went ahead and did what he did, is that James von Brunn was a, quote, World War II war hero, and it ate on him that he had gone ahead and killed some of his probably own cousins on behalf of dirty Jews. And that's why he did what he did at the whole Cost Museum. But anyway, James von Brunn and John Britton, they're sort of related somehow. John's related to about everybody. And in Christian Dante and a few other people out there. So he got along pretty well with James von Brunn, and he gave me James von Brunn's address. James von Brunn had a bit of a sense of humor. He never was really a leader. He was just really a spammer. And I'd tell him a few of the people that he spammed were just worthless pieces of shit. But he sent me a atheist Christmas card in 2008. And he'd send me some email. He really spammed me a bunch of email. And I'd respond once in a while to him. So doubtless my name is mentioned, of course, on the computer the FBI stole, took from James von Brunn and put child porn on. And, that's what Dog does. They go ahead and they trump up charges here. And since you're not dopers, why, they go ahead and, call you child molesters here. There's no proof. So, I'll get on to that in a minute. But anyway, They whined about all the Jews are on SI. Visser supposedly laid out my board. No, he didn't. He went ahead and he made some graphics here, and I went ahead and posted it onto my board. And how I have nothing but sock puppets on VNNF. Well, no, I have one or two sock puppets, but they don't answer. Okay, by the way, this guy Colm who's listening is John Britton, and no, he's not. And he checked it according to the IP? No, he didn't. I've checked Colm's IP here, and that's not the same as John Britton's IP. And, the pisser came up with this Crisco's and Jergens lotion. Well, anyway, that's an old jape by me. I go ahead and say when these people self-anoint themselves here, that they did it just like Ashcroft did with a mixture of, John Ashcroft came up with a book. And he said that his father, who was the head honcho of the Assemblies of God, which is the same way as Jimmy Swaggart, they didn't have any olive oil, so they used Crisco. So I tell about all these here little bell priests like the Downies and like Visser. See, Visser, he goes and he whines and whines and whines about how he could go ahead and, here's this guy named William Fink. Well, the chat's come in, and this guy William Fink, he impersonates William Fink. He's probably Matt Twat Zogbot or some other little shithead. Anyway, he's gone ahead and claim he tried to go ahead and cause trouble between me and William Fink. It's not going to work. I went ahead and called William Fink, and essentially William Fink went ahead and told Matt Twat Zogbot that no, he didn't go ahead and get to ban me or John Britton on my own sub for him. You know what I mean? Okay. Anyway, let's see. Supposedly the Wonger is a pastor, and I don't know. Oh, you talk about Blanchard, Larry Blanchard. Larry Blanchard is one of the people who ended up having something to do with Clint Downey and the other Downies. And what he did is he started out as a Methodist pastor. And his first thing was to go out to the Philippines and try to go ahead and make all these Philippine call girls and waitresses and hump bunnies into good little Christians. And what happens? Andy Anderson, he hates Clifton Nemeheiser, and for my Gary's a big miscegenator, and they were talking about how he left. Anyway, Blanchard, he ran off to Tennessee, and soon after, so did Clunt, and her meerkat Dowdy. They ran off to Kentucky. So, Visser, he goes in and says he's ordained by a flock. And Visser does have some of a flock in Georgia. Okay. Around 102:41, he talks about how I was excommunicated three times. Well, anyway, that was one of the things about it, in that, after I went ahead and seen that, the Brian Wright and Visser were trying to go ahead and steal Gillette's church in early August. Toward the end of it, after about the 18th or so, here comes Sci-Fi Faber whining and, pissing and moaning that Visser had gone ahead and betrayed him about not going ahead and excommunicating me or kicking me out. They had a harebrained idea that they call an ecumenical council and have me removed, and Visser was in on it. And so he was in on it, so was Brian Wright and the rest of them. And, I looked at that, but it doesn't really matter to me because, guess what? I have my own church, and it's registered in the state of Missouri, not the local county. It's registered in the state of Missouri. See, unlike, I wouldn't mind if Visser would simply just go ahead and register his church as a corporation in the state of Georgia and not be trying to steal somebody else's church, like Gillette's. But there's no money, there's no money except for whatever Zog gives into that, and so he goes ahead and claims to be a minister. Well, guess what? You can't claim to be a minister ordained by Wesley Swift, and you can't claim to be a minister ordained by Wesley Swift when you're going ahead and best buddies for 6 years with this Mamzer, who claims that Wesley Swift was a Mamzer, and that Christian identity is a racial fraud. By associating with these people, you've gone ahead, especially with Brian Wright, you've cut yourself off from Christian identity. You don't belong there. So, in any case, the pisser never goes ahead and tells exactly who has ordained him. And the answer is that supposedly he's ordained by Gillette. Well, if you steal from Gillette's church, maybe Gillette's going to kick you out. But then again, maybe not. Maybe when Gillette gets out, the feds will tell him as a condition for getting out, he has to go ahead and turn his church over to a Zogbot like Visser. And maybe that'll happen. I don't know. But we've been looking the entire time at these letters that Visser scans in. And essentially, they don't tell anything that we didn't know before. I knew that I was kicked out. I mean, it's sort of weird. Here I am, kicked out for extremism out of a white supremacist church. I mean, it's ridiculous. But the thing about it is that here comes Visser saying I got excommunicated three times, and the idiot says the second time was by the Hal Turner Area Nation faction of him, Visser, and Sci-Fi. And then I got kicked out by Sci-Fi and Visser. So essentially, I got excommunicated twice here, but the second time was by Hal Turner and Visser and Sci-Fi Faber, and the third time was by Visser and Sci-Fi Faber, and then he got rid of Sci-Fi. So, I mean, you got to wonder, where do these idiots have this sort of thing? Okay. Warner goes ahead and yaps about his AIT certificate. Then in 105, Visser and Wonger admit they're criminals by Zog's standard. Wonger was going ahead and saying that he was a criminal. They go ahead and they whine that I was surprised by Visser banning me. No, I wasn't surprised by Visser banning me. I expect to be banned in August. I had to play nice in order to go ahead and make sure the Gillette's church was safe. And I did play nice. One of the things I really regret is that September, when everybody, word out in the street was that you were a meth head and your door was being kicked in, not by the FBI, but by the County Joint Drug Task Force, that you said that you would resign and you were being overwhelmed by Russian porn spammers. I rather stupidly told you how to go ahead and cure that problem. And the way to cure that problem was to simply put these people on moderate until you could go ahead and see their posts, or put them on probationary member status to where they had to go ahead and you had to see their posts. And the pisser's so-called brother admin, who I call Fruit Loop, said that I'd saved their post here. Well, they're for them. Well, I wish I had. I screwed up on that. Anyway, I was surprised by being banned. No, I wasn't. I mean, I wasn't really worried about being banned. Okay. Cut out once the show. This was tough. He called me a chomo. Anyway, look, for those people who end up calling me a child molester, as I look at it, you're my enemy. And I have no problem with going ahead and destroying your family, just like you Zogbots went and destroyed mine. I mean, you don't seem to understand. The way I look at it, I mean, I'm sort of happy about Visser because I already know who's nuts to go ahead and put a pair of pliers around. I know who's skin out. Every time you call me a chomo, I just go ahead and mentally add another six, wiggers in Brooks, Georgia, and skin out. And sooner or later, they'll get tired of that crap, and they'll skin you out. Give me a video and a pelt sooner or later when the tribulation kicks in. See, like all criminals, you don't really believe in great tribulation. You don't really believe in what you claim to be about Christian identity or dual seat line. Since you don't believe that, you get caught real quick. Anyway, the picture goes on, says how the DFS was justified in stealing my family, and no, they're not. No, I'll go ahead and deal with them someday, too. And then about how I need meds. Well, look, that's the same thing that all these Jew and nigger psychiatrists said. So why should I be surprised? They go ahead, 414, slander my mom. Then I get news that I do the ADL's work. And generally, no. I mean, the ADL knows that Christian identity is dysfunctional. In many cases, what the ADL does, and there's a smart nigger named William Grieg, who goes ahead and points out that what he believes is that the SPLC and the ADL go ahead and give people, people claim to be Aryan Nations like, Gerald O'Brien and Paul Millett, they go ahead and give them money, go ahead and scare all the Jews and the Uyghurs, Nazis trying to get, come and get them, quick send some money to the SPLC, quick support your ADL, and for every dollar they go ahead and give, give these Aryan Nations factions here, which are thoroughly infiltrated. All you need to go ahead and become an Aryan Nation member is go ahead and show a picture of some white guy or some skinhead, and send $25 and you're in like Flint. That's exactly what happened to all these people I run out who joined during the rest, this other thing here. He pointed out that Andrew Anderson has moved out, which is good. I'm glad the fat little Mamsriser is gone. James Jellyville, he's Black Dutch. Well, guess what? If you're a friend of the Wongers, you're screwed, because guess what? The Wonger will betray you. Just like, it wasn't 2 days before the Wonger or Brian Wright got invited back. He was calling Visser, a Mamser, an Asiatic Mamser with high cheekbones and all this. And Visser does look like, just looks like typical little meth head trailer trash. If you go ahead and take a picture of them on the, I call it the Pisser channel, but it's CPM Ministries on YouTube channel, what you see is you see a high-cheekboned, little gant-looking, little brown-haired critter who, he sounds like, if you listen to his voice, he sounds like a deranged snagglepuss. I don't know if it's going to leave this or not, but on Saturday Night Live, the snagglepuss figure is a homosexual mountain lion. But in any case, this is the main thing I wanted to go ahead and said, is that at 1:17, he goes ahead, and he, or 1:18, he goes ahead, and Brian Wright spits on James Delaview. James Delaview was the one who went ahead and organized this Montana cookout, where Brian Wright managed to go ahead and get into Gillette's church. And he goes ahead and says that James Delaview has slant eyes. Well, I don't know. John Britton has seen, you know, James Delaview, says no, he's a Cajun. He has blue eyes, hates niggers, and essentially he's a white man, but he's not exactly an Aryan, but he's a white man, and thus an Israelite. But when he went ahead and Brian Wright sent his picture, he was saying, Brian Wright's told on himself, because James Delaview doesn't have flat eyes, but Brian Wright certainly does. So, but then again, in Brian Wright's world, everyone's a Mamzer except him. Wesley Swift's a Mamzer. Richard Butler's a Mamzer. You're a Mamzer if you have brown hair, but what happens, Brian Wright, he keeps his hat on his hair, and he got blue/hazel eyes. Well, which is it, blue or hazel? Answer is hazel, which means that Brian Wright probably got burnt cork eyes. He certainly got slant eyes of a gook. But he goes on, and at 1:21, he calls Butler a Mamzer. And at 1:23, Visser goes ahead and listens to it, and he doesn't defend Butler. Well, guess what? You were not ordained by Wesley Swift. When Wesley Swift died, you weren't even born. So you're not ordained through Wesley Swift, unless somehow you can go ahead and claim that you were ordained through Butler. And you've just gone ahead and let your Mamzer coordinate claim that Richard Butler was a Mamzer. You let your Mamzer coordinate claim that Wesley Swift was a Mamzer. You went ahead and let your Mamzer coordinate say that Christian identity is a racial fraud. You never defended any other Christian identity members at all, or any other ministers, except yourself. So how dare you? How dare you go ahead and claim to be ordained through Wesley Swift and Richard Butler and Morris Gillette and your Christian identity minister? The fact of the matter is, Visser, is you're a liar and a thief. You're in it for your own good. And I believe you're a Zogbot. But going on, let me see. Well, go ahead and mention Lorraine Swift. Well, in Brian Wright's second incursion, he goes ahead and makes a big deal about how he has an AIT, and he goes ahead and he posts a letter from Lorraine Swift. And then what does he do? He gets kicked out. And then he goes ahead and says Lorraine Swift's husband and Lorraine Swift's children are Mamzers. There's a lot of people who like Lorraine Swift because she went ahead and donated Tom Perret's AIT course and teaching materials to all these prisoners, including Brian Wright. And this ungrateful, evil, Mamzer, Jew, son of a bitch, goes ahead and sucks up to Lorraine Swift, and then when he has no use for her, he goes ahead and shits on her. You know what I mean? Shits on her. So, I mean, that's exactly the sort of character you are here. This Breckinridge Elkins said, hey, look, this character ain't dangerous, except to those who are his so-called friends, because he'll betray them. He's betrayed Visser, so why does Visser allow that? Answer, it's money. Two thieves are out to steal. Visser's gone ahead and fallen out with his Rick Spring, buddy, Mike Burks, and Jonathan Williams, and the rest of them. But what they are thieves. So they live to steal. So what happens is that when they have, excuse me, I'm sitting relaxing in my hovel, for which I paid $3,000 at the end of 1987, and which is tax assessed now at $10,000. But I like my little hovel. It's a warm little hovel made out of rocks. This house, the framework of it was built in 1910, portions of it, And the guy who went ahead and made it, his name was Nelson Summey, and he was an awful plumber and an even worse roofer, but he was an artist as far as putting on rocks. If you see a house in Neosho or in Granby, and I live in what they used to call Summeyville, and he was an artist with rocks, with limestone, cheap limestone rocks and cement. He was probably one of the best self-taught masons. You know, and by masons I mean an actual mason, not some fat idiot who wants to go ahead and pretend to be a Jew. I mean an actual mason who actually does masonry work. He was wonderful. And when I first moved in this house, I thought, nah, let's pull the things out. But nope, that wouldn't be smart here. The house would fall down without the rocks. But as it is, it's a warm house. It's a warm house in winter. You know, those rocks do add quite a bit of insulation. But anyway, it looks like guest number 24. So we end up having probably some idiots coming in saying false, false, false. I don't know what the hell they're whining about. Anyway, 125. Let's say try to find info. Well, guess what? Wonger, Pisser. You know, you went ahead and actually admit I'm fairly smart. Well, you're not, look, Wonger, Pisser, you're not as smart as Clint Downey. See, Clint Downey, when I went ahead and found out she's a big old whore, and the thing about it is, for all practical proof, in fact, I don't have any proof here because I said I'd go ahead and honor the wishes of these girlfriends and wives who didn't want them to be known here. They knew that old Clint was screwing her screwing their husbands and boyfriends after the meeting. The guy who found this out was Hengist, and he did find out what is definitely provable, in that Debbie Downey, was the Clayless, and the Grand Dragon named Badinsky went ahead and allowed this sort of thing. And essentially Debbie Downey went ahead and admitted what was quite provable, is that the Clayless, the Clud, ran off with the Clayless and installed them in her, his parents' house, and she ended up getting a divorce from him. And that's thoroughly proven. She came, she went from being Debbie Badinsky to Deborah Downey. Totally provable. So by the law, do you submit to Ixabert? No, Ixabert is some little Jew mamzer here who I'm going to go ahead and skin and denut one of these days if I catch him. He's from Toronto. Anyway, going on. So, am I able to go ahead and prove that old Debbie Downey is a big old whore who screwed all these Klansmen after the meetings? No, because I can't go ahead and reveal the name. But guess what? A week afterwards, here comes Debbie Downey, and she whines not that I've gone ahead and, lied, or Hengist has lied. She whines that I've spread, me and Hengist have spread malicious gossip, and she whines all about how I've gone ahead and embellished the story, and I haven't. But, she'd go on to these forums and demand I get banned, demand that Christian Identity Men go ahead and deal with me. And the answer of it is that her husband is the most evasive, cowardly little weasel that's ever lived. He sent me, about a year and a half later in June of 2003, he sent me the most evasive email, essentially threatening to whip my ass if I went to Port Orchard, Washington to kill him. If I went to Port Orchard, Washington to kill him and Clint, why, he'd beat me up. Well, I imagine he would if you corner even a little meerkat. The meerkat will bite you. I wasn't going to go up to Port Washington to beat anybody up. Neither is the Pisser going to come to Granby. Neither is the Wonger. Neither is some guy from St. Louis going to come and beat me up. And for this Obadiah idiot who goes ahead, he's on Visser's forum talking about how he delivers honor court beatdowns, that's a surefire way to get killed. I can just see some Obadiah idiot knock on my door. knock, 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 knock. You know, yes, who's there? I'm from Sci-Fi Faber's Honor Court, and I'm here to give you an Honor Court beatdown. Excuse me. Excuse me a minute. And then what happens is out comes a shotgun or SKS, and bang, 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 you know, and guess what? I mean, three more idiots like that, and I won't have to go ahead and work on the asparagus patch for a long time. Okay, guess number 27 here. Damn listed, are you on math here? Well, looks like we end up having guests here. Willie Wonger here. You don't determine DFCI clergy. Well, neither do you, idiot anonymous faggots, either here. You know what I mean? Swedish people are Eurasians because they suffered from Suomi in them. Well, that's the sins. Anyway, going on, you know. Anyway, I'm a Goish, you know, whatever. Anyway, going on, I'm on 125. And they're right. I do try to go ahead and find out info. And any info you go ahead and use against me will be used. Clint would go ahead and whine that, you know, Livstead's going to go ahead and use what, you know, I'd go ahead and argue with you small, but anything I say, you're going to twist and use against me. And then she'd run off. And the thing about it is the Pisser and the Wonger, they're not as smart as Clint Downey. Anyway, going on, let me see. Okay. I'm looking at this. Okay. Oh, let me see. The Visser, you know, what happens 133, the Pisser and Wonger can't understand the friendship between Six Killer and me. Well, it's not a friendship based upon thievery like Brian Wright and Visser's friendship. What happens, they're two thieves who I guess still haven't fallen out yet. Anyway. Visser was yapping about 139. Visser was saying that if I went down to Georgia, he'd have some Rastafarians beat me up. And I have no doubt that you're big buddies with niggers and Rastafarians. Okay. 140. Well, John Britton, he's caught up in a web of hate. Well, that sounds like what I hear from Jews. 142, they're talking about taking CI people's kids away. Let me see. 142, Dave Barley is a good guy. Well, guess what, Visser? You went ahead and called him a mamzer. Which goes to show that it's not smart to go ahead and be friends with the Wonger. The thing about Dave Barley is he's just some wigger who is well known to have married a Beaner woman. And he claims that she's a Lamanite, which is part of Mormon nonsense. They sort of believe that the Lamanite, you know, that the Nephites, you know, a father came over and he had four sons, Laman, Lemuel, two oldest, then Nephi, and then Sam. I guess Joseph Smith ran out of interesting names by the time he named the first three, and he just had to name the fourth one Sam. But the people who are from Nephi and Sam, they stayed white, but the Lamanites and Lemuelites were bad people, so Yahweh turned them dark so that they wouldn't intermarry. And Christian identity, around the time of Joseph Smith, 150 years ago, was a good deal like British Israelite. Israelitism. They both were racial religions. And it wasn't until 1979 that they first allowed niggers and non-whites to go ahead and join the church. Now, they allowed these Indians to go on because they were, quote, Lamanites. Then when Jesus Christ came back around the time of, after he got crucified, he came back to the New World and talked to them, and guess what? Some of the good Lamanites were turned white, and the bad Nephites were turned dark. And they had another little color chain, sort of like George Hamilton and Michael Jackson. I like joking about that, but no, I read the Book of Mormon when I was 12, and I was a summer Mormon. My grandmother, she'd go ahead, hang around the Mormon church, and she quit it because the people who were there, They were sneaky Norwegians, according to my grandfather, Fred, who he was an Easter Lutheran who'd show up. I think at the time he showed up in the Lutheran church was when he was baptized, when he was married, and then maybe one or two Easters. Other than that, Fred Lindstedt never darkened a church door in his life, from what I gather. He didn't much hold with Mormonism because he liked his coffee. He liked his beer every occasion, although he wasn't much of a drinker, but he did like drinking his coffee. And Mormons don't much care for caffeine. Anyway, let me see. Going on. I mean, I read the Book of Mormon when I was 12. My grandmother asked me, "What do you think of it?" And I said, "Well, Joseph Smith was one hell of a novelist." And I don't really believe in Mormonism at all. But John, on the other hand, John's wife and his daughters are Mormons. And like I said, the nut house pissed off the social worker. I said, "Look, females really don't make good Christianity people. I mean, for every pilgrim you get, you end up having a clunt and a few other critters here are totally screwed up. Generally, it was up to me. Women folks would go ahead and learn to be obedient little women here under Mormonism. And once they go ahead and learn, to be obedient under Mormonism, maybe you can go ahead and take one or two and teach them about Christian identity." But no, Christian identity isn't really meant for women because they're second-class citizens. And so it's probably just as well to go ahead and let females, be Mormons. And it's up to you to go ahead and keep an eye on them. I mean, the Mormon Church is still pretty much a white church, but I've noticed the last couple of years that they've allowed more and more and more of these damn mamzers in, and it's becoming less and less and less of a white church. But as far as female obedience, it's probably just as well to go ahead and let them be raised Mormon. And then, the ones that have something on the ball, they can go ahead and you can teach them Christian identity. But you want women to be obedient. Well, anyway, I told this to this little mamzer social worker of mine. She's a total female, women's lipper here, and I could see the steam coming out of her ears, when I told her that essentially she couldn't understand Christian identity. It wasn't for her kind. It wasn't, both because she was a female and not because she wasn't white. She wasn't too crazy about hearing that, even though she had no intention of becoming Christian identity. Anyway, Johnny's sick, caught in a web of hate, goes on, yap, 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 this sort of thing. And the longer he's trying Wodenism, now he's not. And they don't believe anything about the Dunnies here. Then the longer, at 159, he's yapping about my mother again. And let me see. So essentially, most of this stuff was just nothing but lies. But let me see. I'm going on, pretty well the transcript, and I'll go ahead and put some links to it here. But I'm sort of busy, and all this crap has sort of kept me from going up to Jefferson City to file for United States Senate, and it's also kept me from going ahead and visiting the nuts I left behind. Let me see. Oh, they whined about me, or 203 whined about me taking the Aryan Nation's name. Well, okay, whine. Okay. This says doing what Faber wants. Well, that ain't what Faber said. Okay. And 206, J. Faber excommunicates me from the Aryan Nations revival. Well, I don't know. He turned, but then again, here comes Visser, and he goes ahead and turns on Faber. See what happens? There were two lying criminals who essentially turned on each other. And what I got to laugh here is that Sci-Fi was pretty well the last of the August Christ faction, except for Paul Millett. Millett up in Idaho, and the Pisser is the last of the Rick Spring faction. So, who cares? Then they whined about Stumble In. Okay, 213, Pisser whines about not getting Christian due process. Look, Pisser, you would have been pretty smart about, I call it Pisser's Pussy Palace. That's what we call this new V-Bulletin Forum. They got probably from the Department of Zogland and Security. It's a, you know, we're going to call it Visser's one, but it's a palace made of gold, well, Zogbucks. The thing about it is, and I was going ahead and look at this thing about V-Bulletin. V-Bulletin 4.0 is technologically wonderful. But the thing about it is that it tries to be something, and it goes ahead, and it's not good forum software. See, with a forum, what you want is you just want to go ahead and visit your friends and buddies, just like StumbleIn or 4Fags or Feeds or something. I noticed that Original Dissent, and I call it the Embalming Society, because they have not had a new idea in years, and they embalm their old ideas, is that what it does is that if you set the thing on RSS feed, and that's exactly what Visser does. He sets it to VNNF RSS feed, and that's pretty well some of the thing I'm sort of wondering is that Visser got, I think he's got all this money, because before he didn't have any money until about 2 months ago. And then all of a sudden he gets this money, he's able to go ahead and buy V-Bulletin 4.0, which costs $280. Now he gets a discount for having a license. But still he has this much money. And with V-Bulletin 4.0, it no longer is just the post of people who bring stuff on. It's set on RSS feed. And as a result, you end up having a whole bunch of GORP, electronic GORP, on there. And that's why I think V-Bulletin 4.0 is a dead end. And I think it is. I think it is a dead end. If you're starting a brand new forum and you want to go ahead and have people read every single thing through RSS feed, I guess it'd be wonderful, but it don't become a forum when you end up having, let's say, 4 or 5 or 10 RSS feeds for every single poster. And by going ahead and having all this RSS feed, you no longer really have a forum with people actually on it. All you have is just a collection of RSS feeds going ahead and filling a database that hardly anybody's going to. And that's what I've noticed with old Pisser's Pussy Pals. What happens is I call Pisser's Fender actually has more people, but it sort of died down because there's just so many, there's just only so many ways to go ahead and say Marty's a chomo and Johnny's a drunken, you know, he's a drunken tonto. And what they've been doing is they've been, recently, this is how low they are. They went ahead and looked at his daughter's Facebook page, and when she was getting a wanting to get a divorce from her husband, they went ahead and showed her with a black eye that was given by her hubby, and then they go ahead and said John Britton went ahead and missed her to his little bitty oldest daughter, you know, that black eye, and that's not the case at all. But that shows how vicious and stupid they are. So, anyway, there's not much, you know, there's not much left. Somebody said, where's the link for Pisser's Pussy Pals here? Well, go to Pisser Sender and you can go ahead and find one. It's a Covenant People's Ministry. And Visser's under the delusion he has 100,000 people downloading it. Well, I did last month, I did a search under White Nationalist, under Alexis, and found out I'm rated about what? Oh, 4 millionth or so. Used to be rated a lot higher, but there were a lot fewer web pages back then. But I've gone ahead and looked, and as a result of this sort of crap coming down, let's see. 2 days ago, I had 139,000 hits for the month of March. You know, last month I had 156,000, but that was for all of February, but it was a short month. And as a result of this conflict, it has gone ahead and inflated my, you know, hit list by about 25%. But and I imagine when I run for United States Senator, it's going to go even higher. Okay. Well. Anyway, yeah, well, 100,000 a week, my ass. What he's doing is he's looking probably how many people are downloading from the Library of Congress. See, he didn't have money. He didn't have money at all, and he'd go ahead and he'd shove all these audio files wherever he could go ahead and shove them. And one of them closed down, so I don't know if he lost them or not here. But anyway, he probably has a DVD made, and he goes ahead and he uploads it from a hard drive. But one of the things he was talking is that, well, can we get Craig Corncobb, you know, Craig Cobb to go ahead and put it? No, Craig Corncobb is a VNNF creatard, and he's not going to go ahead and let us on it. And that was one of the things we were going ahead and plan, me and, you know, me and Visser. But now Visser got plenty of money, you know, to go ahead and put a big server. But the thing about it is I'm not, you know, A, he's not going to allow me on there, and B, I wouldn't be on there anyway because I don't go ahead and go on places that are paid for by Zog. I mean, if you know the place is a Zog false front, you have a duty and obligation not to get on it. So I'm not going to get on it, and he don't really have anything to go ahead and do here. Anyway, by 227, let me see. Oh, they were talking about how Stumbleland is full of Jews and niggers and wiggers. Everybody's a piece of crap. And, yeah, you end up having a good bunch of – you end up having a you know, in every form here, like this Ixenberg, he's a screwed up Jew. This Johnson, he's a Jew, but he's a Jew drone. He's not really screwed up that bad as much as Ixenberg and Kane are. But you end up having Jews on every single form. You know, I'm not quite sure about Cole, whether he's a Jew or not. But let me see. Marty, okay. It sort of says that if I got money, I would leave my house and cow. Well, guess what? I'm actually probably a fairly wealthy man. Thing about it is, though, is I sort of like Roxy, and I sort of like my house. And this is our 23rd anniversary, so I'm not going to go ahead and leave Roxy, and I'm not going to leave my house either. I mean, I still hope and pray every night that the grandchildren will be able to come back. You know, they weren't screwed up. So, either way, they go on, and by 227, you know, Pisser and the Wonger claim they don't really believe in dual seed line Christianity. And the fact of the matter is they never did really believe dual seed line Christianity. Not at all. They never did. I mean, the way the Pisser's going, you know, in September, and I sort of screwed up, he was talking about retiring. And he's talked about leaving it several times. He's just like Jonathan Williams. In October of 2008, here he was, the Feast of Tabernacles, preaching in front of the United Church of Yahweh. And then Jonathan Williams decides Christianity is a cult. Michael Burks goes ahead and forms this Jew Alliance, a Christian Jew Alliance, and Christianity is a cult. And the same thing's going to be with Visser. Same thing's going to be with Wonger. They're going to be driven out, and the Wonger never did believe in Christianity. And neither really, I think, does Visser. Visser goes ahead and he preaches a good sermon, but it's sort of not really even worth listening to. It's not worth listening to, you know, someone who really is dishonest. It's sort of like listening to Jimmy Swaggart talk about how he can, about the joys of married love while he's beaten off over some whore talking about her 16-year-old daughter, like Jimmy Swaggart was. I mean, both the whoremongers and, you know, both the sinners and the religious are turned off by this sort of thing. You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah, well, the Wonger has always been a thing here. Anyway, we're talking about, you know, old Mongoloid. That's the name I gave the Reverend Lloyd Hardy, who tried to go ahead and first claim that he was Matt Hill's successor, and then everybody wanted to beat his ass, and then he was Woden's only living prophet that lived. And then he ended up going ahead and signing, just like I told him. I said, well, hey, you know, at least Mongoloid, he cut out the middleman. Old Mongoloid is going to worship himself. And that's what he did. And if you went ahead and looked on his webpage, why, old Mongoloid said he had 200 IQ. So, what happens is that I was arguing with Mongoloid, and somehow he ended up going ahead and migrating over to Stumbleton, and Breckenridge Elkins gave him his own sub for him. And for someone who was so smart, the guy really couldn't write with a darn. He could feed a good line of bullshit better than I can over this medium. But, you know, he was very, very much not very much of a writer. And he was on there for a day and a half, and then the cops went ahead and arrested him last April and put him in jail for gloating about killing this woman, this old cougar, who he shot in the face, and he got away with killing her. But for money, Gary, he didn't get off scot-free, so the cops went ahead and thought he had guns on his property, and they went ahead and threw him in jail. And, Wander is Billy Wood / Brian Wright. So, in any case, we call him the Wander because one of our nicknames for him here, when he showed up in the second or third, he came out as, Eleazar. And we called him Eleazar, and I gave him the name of Lying Wong, and I called him Genghis Mamzer, and I called him Pinocchio Jew. I called him a number of names here, but, Lion Wong was one of them. I called him a Wonger. So anyway, old Hardy Lloyd, he got arrested, and I'm not sure if he's in the same pot as this Polak kid named Poplowski. He went ahead and, shot three pigs, pop, 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 because he thought Obongo was going to go ahead and take his guns on April 4th of last year. Shot three little pigs, just neater and snot with his pistol, and then he got his AK-47, and he held the pigs off, and they threw him in jail. And a little bit less than a month later, they went ahead and arrested Hardy Lloyd, and all of a sudden, old Hardy Lloyd had 125 posts in a day and a half, and then somebody went ahead and took down a sub for him and erased all of his posts except for about 20 that was in my sub for him or somebody, and they went ahead and changed his name to Idjit. But I created a sock puppet called John Q. Wigger. And old John Q. Wigger looks like a total dork. What I did is I took a picture of old Hardy Lloyd when he had wore glasses and had a full set of hair, and said, "Well, hey, I only got a 98 IQ. I'm only half as smart as a cousin Mongoloid, but at least I'm smart enough not to go ahead and shoot dick-sucking cougars in the face here. I mean, dick-sucking cougars need to be protected here because everybody can use a good dick-sucking cougar." there's some people say that I'm pastor profane, but the thing about it is that the pisser got caught pretty well sending negrep points to me and everybody else saying, "Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you." The pisser sent me about 30 negrep points. I went ahead and did a screenshot, say, but they disabled reputation over Stumbling for some stupid reason. And John Q. Wigger. Anyway, got pictures? Well, go to Stumbling or go over to Christian Nationalist and go ahead and look under John Q. Wigger and I just pretty well took an avatar of old Hardy Lloyd when he first got arrested after he shot this female. See, the ones that are attracted to him, they got part Jew or something like that. They usually got a real rich daddy, really rich, successful daddy, and their kid has a bit of autism or Asperger's or whatever, and they don't know how to act. They don't know how to behave. And, They end up, being real smart, smart in a book sense, not in a streetwise sense, not in a social sense, not in an emotional sense. And they go ahead and do that. So anyway, I took a picture of old, Hardy Lloyd and say that What's the DSA take on Asperger's and autism? I guess there is none. They go ahead and do this sort of thing. Anyway, I just took a picture of Hardy Lloyd. But the thing about Hardy Lloyd is at least he's honest. I went ahead and back in 1996 wrote a piece called Cult of the Me God. And essentially I said that people, the religion of the West is no longer Christianity. It's solipsism. People worship themselves. And as a result, you have people worshiping themselves, and you got to wonder, if you're going to worship yourself, why not just go ahead and worship yourself and cut out the middlemen, cut off the preacher, cut off the bell priest, cut out all this trappings of organized religion and just simply worship yourself and have done with it. Okay? Anyway, it's called solipsism, S-O-L-I-P-S-I-S-M. And what it is it's the belief that there is nothing other than yourself. So, old Hardy Lloyd, he went ahead and shot this woman, 41-year-old woman. I don't know if he was married at the time. He shot her right in the face. And guess what? He got away with it. Which reminds me of Visser. Visser goes ahead, and you go ahead and talk to him. He'll sort of brag to you about how he was on the run for 6 years because he killed somebody. And, you go ahead and you want to question him longer, although I don't. I mean, I pretty well have the resistance habit of I don't inquire about stuff I don't need to know about. I've had people go ahead and send me emails. If I thought it was important, sometimes I'd answer. Or sometimes I just go ahead and answer on my webpage. And I go ahead and delete the email, delete the address. And then everybody could go ahead and post here if I thought it was sensitive information. And I'm reminded of what Menachem Begin wrote in The Revolt here. You've got to train. If you're having a resistance, you've got to train people not to ask nosy questions, not to stoop about stuff they don't need to know about. And I have always calculated upon myself that rule. I don't stoop and I don't spy and I don't, I spy. But if it's for someone on my side and I don't need to know about it, I don't inquire. I don't ask. But anyway, we're getting on that. Anyway, I pretty well covered the Lion Wonger and the Pisser Show. And what it boiled down to is it consisted mainly of lies, but it consisted of some admissions. Is that, there's no longer denying that Brian Wright and Billy Wood and Visser have been together for years and years and years. And that, yes, they do think that there is money in Gillette's Church of the Sons of Yahweh. And that they think that they have a better right to it than John Britton as acting senior pastor. And they still have the belief that they can go ahead and file a lawsuit and somehow become in charge, which is idiocy. The way it's set up now, Gillette has absolute control over his church. And whatever Gillette does, will stand. When he gets finally out of prison in, I think, September, John Britton's going to go ahead and hand what's left of his church over to Gillette. He won't be acting past senior pastor anymore. I asked him to do it. Gillette asked him to do it. John Britton didn't want to do it, but he did because both of us asked him. Both of us asked him to. Gillette for his reasons, me for mine. And the reason I wanted to do is that I want there to be a good many Christian identity churches, each one according to how the local minister thinks. And that's why I divvied up with Sci-Fi. It wasn't over Sci-Fi wants to kick you out, because I didn't find out about that till later, when Visser went ahead and told on Sci-Fi, because, Sci-Fi is Hal Turner's big buddy, and Visser goes ahead and turns on Sci-Fi. You end up having, it's just nothing more than thieves falling out. And the easiest way to go explain Brian Wright in sci-fi is that they're thieves. They're just thieves out to steal something that don't belong to them. I don't care who ordained you. The thing about it is, you're a liar and a thief, you're a liar and a thief, and that's all there is to it. If you get caught lying, I mean, this is what these idiots, they think that if they tell me a lie, they're going to win an argument. And the thing about it is, the reason I come on top is I don't care whether or not I win the argument. Because either way, I win. If some idiot listens to me, and because I lose the argument, he's going to go ahead and wander off and die in the wilderness somewhere, I've won. I've gotten rid of a diseased animal or a juco or something here. If I win the argument, I win the argument. It don't matter. But if you lied to me in order to go ahead and win the argument, you've lost. You've lost not only that battle, but you've lost the entire war, because I'm not going to believe anything you say if I catch you lying. And I caught the visceral lying quite a few times. And people have said that here. They said dancing for 6 years. Well, that was one of the things that I went ahead and posted, and it was on Pisser's Pussy Palace. It was 2 days before that that Brian Wright went ahead and claimed, you know, Brian Wright on VNNF said that Gillette was a mamzer. And less than 2 days, here he is, inviting, Visser invited me back, and I've been dancing with Pastor Visser for 6 years now. And they went ahead and hit or deleted that message. Well, you know, I know that message is about to be, you know, done, but I have a window open, and I see in a different window that this, you know, just disappeared. So what I do is I go to this window that's already open, and I go ahead and make a screenshot. I save the screenshot. So now, guess what, Visser? You've been caught lying. You've been caught covering up the truth. I got a screenshot. It just disappeared. Why did it disappear? Because you deleted it, or you went ahead and you hid it somewhere. I know how I wrote a V-Bulletin for them. I got one of my own. My chances are I know better than right there here. Oh, no. Does Roxy ever listen to the show while you broadcast it, and does she laugh? No, she's in bed right now. She's been in bed for about, she's been in bed for about 4 hours now. And I've been going on for about, hour and 40 minutes. Anyway, enough of the pisser. As a result of this coming up, I want to go up, and I've, on my lawsuit against Obongo, one of two things have happened. I went ahead, the main one, you know, I've sued Trader Glenn Miller. You know, the main thing, you know, count one of my complaint essentially involves the United States or Missouri, Missouri under Revised Statute of Missouri 115.355 says that you have to be present in order to go ahead and file for, you know, for an office. And what that does, it allows, you know, people, you know, the government, to go ahead and throw you in jail on trumped-up charges, and then when you're in jail, you can't file for office. And the United States whines about China doing that, and the United States whines about Russia doing that, the United States whines about them doing the same thing in Iraq and in Zimbabwe. When I was in the Nut House, here they were whining about how Robert Mugabe was not only killing all the rest of his niggers, but and starving them to death and having runaway inflation, but he wouldn't allow Morgan to Tsvangirai to run for office and none of his followers to run for office because they were going ahead and arresting them and throwing them in jail and beating them up. And as a result, Morgan to Tsvangirai had to run to the Dutch embassy, and he couldn't file for office. And so Robert Mugabe won by default. Well, guess what? The United States does the same thing. Missouri does the same thing. It uses that law to keep people from running for office. Now, while I was in the Nut House, I went ahead and asked, hey, I want to go ahead and be sent here down to Jefferson City to run for governor in 2008, or I want to go ahead and run in absentia. And I went ahead and asked to do that thing. And same way with sheriff. You know, count two is thanks to Trader Glenn Miller. What he did is he ran as he wanted to run as a Republican for congressman in 2006, and the Republicans turned back his check, and the Missouri Secretary of State allowed him to do that, and he tried to run as a Democrat and then as a Libertarian. Well, I'm telling this nigger who's running back in the 1940s, all these niggers wanted to run for federal office as for senator or congressman on the Democrat Party ticket in Texas and Oklahoma. It wouldn't have done them any good to run as Republicans because they wouldn't even win their general election, but they wanted to run as Democrats. And the Democrat Party of Oklahoma and Texas went and said, hey, look, niggers, not only should you not be able to vote, you certainly shouldn't be able to run for United States Senator. And these cases went to United States Supreme Court. United States Supreme Court, I think it was 1942, 1944, they ruled in Allwright versus Smith that guess what? Niggers got to go ahead and run on Democratic primary tickets. Well, guess what? Thanks to Trader Glenn Miller, an open white man like me can't run for political office as a Republican or a Democrat or a Libertarian in Missouri. Now, Trader Glenn Miller went ahead and sued just the Texas Secretary of State, this idiot football player named Richard Doar, went ahead and dismissed the suit. And I think that Zog had set up Trader Glenn Miller to run and then go ahead and then lose, and then he went ahead and deliberately blew the lawsuit. I think it was a setup from day one. And now he's running as a write-in candidate after he's gone ahead and destroyed the ability of open white nationalists to run on a political party. So I'm going to go up there. And what kept me from going up there this weekend, Friday, was the fact that, this sort of thing came up. I need to go ahead and write a summary, a motion for summary judgment on count one and count two to where, guess what? Revised Statute of Missouri 115.355 is overturned. You can't go ahead and throw somebody in prison and then keep him from running for political office. If he hasn't been convicted, then he gets to run, and you either go ahead and allow him to run in absentia, or you let him go to Jefferson City or wherever, the county office for county government, and you allow him to run. And for count two, guess what, political parties? You can't go ahead and keep someone from running on the basis of religion, of race, religion, or creed. I'm going to go up there and say, hey, my race is white. My religion is dual seed line Christian identity, and my creed is white nationalism. And I have as much a right to run now in 2010 as them niggers did in 1942 and 1944, 60 years ago. You can't go ahead and make the white man the new nigger. And I'm going to run as a Republican on the grounds that Republicans go ahead and pretend to be for white people. They're not. They're worse than Democrats. A Democrat will admit, to a white man that he's out to screw him. He's out to go ahead and take his money and his freedom, if necessary, his wife, and give it to the nigger in Mexico. But a Republican will go ahead and pretend to be for you, he'll fuck you over worse than any Democrat will. This economic collapse should be laid directly on the Republican, on the Republicans, because what they did is they went ahead and sent up all these jobs to China in return for these Jews going ahead and giving on the board of directors, going ahead and getting to import all this China-made junk and make huge profits for the minute. Now, there are no jobs in this country. Like I was trying to tell this nigger, when whites aren't able to take care of themselves, they're not going to have enough for the niggers and the beaners. And you're going to end up having a civil war. So, I'm going to go up there this week. I'm going to go ahead and file for office. I'm also going to go ahead and visit two of the people I left behind. I left a lot of people behind, but two of my real good friends. One of them is my Bishop of Fulton, James Detmer. James Clawhammer Detmer. Let me tell you, There's some people say you shouldn't, you shouldn't ordain a maniac who kills his father with a claw hammer. Well, James is nuts, but he's been a loyal friend to me. He's a lot better. He's a lot more of a honorable man than this piece of shit like Liar Bill the Clueless. You know what I mean? Liar Bill's a real piece of shit. Going ahead and coming up with all this crappy lies when he sat like a lump here, scared shitless here to where he goes ahead and barfs up a perfectly good meal of spaghetti. He's scared shitless. I might detect him. Well, look, Liar Bill. What happens is that my Bishop Fulton, he's lasted 3 years, and you didn't even last 3 days. Now, I sort of tell my Bishop of Fulton, since you don't know anything about, dual seed line Christian identity, just keep your mouth shut. You know what I mean? That way, if you want, you can run around with half a beard. But, anyway, he's a loyal friend. I'm going to go ahead and visit my loyal friends. People who are being screwed over, doped up illegally, and, screwed over. In the nut house system. And in many ways, being in a nut house is worse than being in prison in some ways. Here's the warrant. Well, why didn't Martin bail out from the nut house? You can't bail out from a nut house. Because when you're in a nut house, you're deemed incompetent to proceed to trial. Or even if you're competent, like they did for about a year and a half. Oh, yeah, he's competent. Well, why doesn't he proceed to trial? Well, because he needs to go ahead and be taking this dope to be rendered competent. Everything the Soviet Union did that Uyghurs in the United States whined about here. Well, you're sending your religious dissent, you're sending your dissenters into psychiatric facilities, and you're doping them up here and keeping them indefinitely without trial. Well, guess what? The United States does the same thing they did to me. I mean, mighty evil empires, they don't have any great brain waves in how they deal with dissenters. They do the same thing. But guess what? The more people you send to prison, the sooner this mighty evil empire will fall apart. It don't have very much time left in it. So I'm going to go up sometime this week. I got my car fixed. It's not much of a car, but it's a cheap car. I'll go up there, and we'll go ahead, and I'm going to go ahead and run. I'm going to go ahead and give a speech. But I have a dream, and I have a dream. I have a dream that Zog is burning, that all the Uyghurs are dead in the streets here, just like Yahweh says, that the cities of evil people shall not spread upon the earth. And guess what? The cities of these evildoers, they won't spread upon the earth. See, Christian identity says that, guess what? That we are white nations here, and that we've received our birthright because we are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we got our birthright. But on the other hand, Israel is also Zog. Because, what happened in Genesis chapter 6, under the first Babylon, under Cain, wherever. Cain went ahead and made these people miscegenate. He went ahead and, just like today, probably Noah, he said he was a man of perfect generation. Well, guess what? Probably Noah was faced to where there wasn't any very many white women left. Pure blood white women to go ahead and marry. For my Gary, he had to marry a first cousin. What happens? All he hears all these Adamites, and they're miscegenating with demons, and with muds, and with Kenite Jews, and the rest. And Yahweh flooded them out. Didn't flood out Africa filled with niggers. Didn't flood out most of Asia filled with gooks. Didn't flood out Europe filled with obedient Adamites who didn't go ahead and cluster together and, you know, trying to go ahead and create a mighty evil empire. Didn't go ahead and flood North and South America, filled with redskins. He only flooded where these sinning Adamites allowed themselves to miscegenate. Well, guess what? Here they were Adamites. Here they were close together, but yet they were, you know, yet they were miscegenating away. And Yahweh said, "Enough, enough." And he drowned it out. These sinful Adamites who miscegenated. And the second Babylon was under Nimrod. And Ham was a piece of shit, you know, a total wigger. He went ahead and had sex on the ark along with the dog and the raven. Screwed niggers. And his wife was Naama. You know, and Naama was also the name of Noah's wife, but the Naama that Ham was screwing was Tubal-Cain's sister, a Kenitess, a Jewess. And by them, he ended up going ahead and spawning Cain. And Cain, you know, or Canaan, and Ham stole from Noah the garments of power that Adam had created, you know, that Yahweh had created for Adam and Eve, according to the book of Jasher, which would go ahead and give control over the beasts and of the men. You know, there's a story about the spear of destiny. Well, guess what? The garments of power were far more than the spear of destiny. So what happens is that Ham goes ahead and gives it to Canaan, and Canaan gives it to Cush, and Cush gives it to Nimrod. And Nimrod's able to go ahead and, you know, rule over the beasts and approach them and kill them. And so he goes ahead and tries to create another Babylon. Well, they call it the first Babylon, but it was actually the second Babylon. And Yahweh doesn't like that at all. But he said he wouldn't flood them again. It's too early to go ahead and use fire. So what he does, he just confounds their tongue and makes everybody scatter the way they should. The Babylonian system is to go ahead and try to go ahead and put all these Adamites under one king, under one control, so that evil men can go ahead and force them in slavery to miscegenate away, so there will not be any more whites. And that's what the Babylonian system is. And when you see someone like Judas the Juiced Howard, or Mind Twat, or Matt Twat Zogbot, or the rest of them trying to impose a Babylonian system, well, guess what? You're dealing with a Mamzer or a Wigger criminal. You're dealing with someone who goes and wants to follow Satan's will. And you can't allow that. So, now we're living in the third and final Babylon, where last week they were gloating about how now the non-white births outnumber the white births. Well, this is already a third world country, but now it just says it's doomed to become a third world country, because you can't have more non-whites than whites. If you have more non-whites being born than whites, guess what? In just a few years, there won't be any more old whites. They'll die. And the world will be covered with Mamzers, non-whites. And just like this stupid nigger I was talking to, he couldn't understand. He wanted health care. He didn't want to pay for it. He wanted Whitey to pay for it. But guess what? Well, Whitey can't pay for it. What happens then? What happens then? Answer: there is no more. There is no more Whitey being able to pay for this shit. Anyway, well, it's been a while. It's been a while. No Frenchman's gone. Colm's gone. There's supposedly guest number 25 and number 28, but I'm not sure if that's true or not, because I haven't put anything onto there. I'm just looking at what the chat said. But it's coming on close to 2 o'clock, so I've been talking for about 2 hours. But no, this weekend I intend to go up there and file for United States Senate, and I'll work on this probably tomorrow. and I probably need to go to bed so I can go ahead and get up at a decent hour and get this thing done. So anyway, I covered the Pisser and the Longer's latest thing, and the thing about it is that they are, you know, just like I could predict, they're pretty well set on their own little ghetto. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to amount to nothing. They're essentially ghettoized. And whoever supports them is in that ghetto with them. They're not going anywhere. So they've lost. And the second thing I wanted to cover was me going up there to Jefferson City to file. You know, but I have said I was going to file. I have to file because, you know, otherwise my lawsuit will go ahead and be mooted. Whereas if I go up there and demand something that should have been never taken away, i.e., the right for people who are falsely imprisoned to run for public office, and B, for the white man to run for public office openly and get on the, you know, primary ballot. Now, I don't think for a minute that I'm going to win the primary, but I have a right to go ahead and file on a political party ticket. Just like the niggers supposedly did, and I don't believe they should have been allowed to run. You know, I don't believe the niggers should have ever been allowed to vote. But in any case, what happens is, you know, I mean, what shouldn't have happened is that the white man shouldn't become the new nigger. But that's exactly what he's become in this country. And when the white man figures out that there's no sense in him supporting this regime anymore, when the white man has no choice, the white man, you know, when the white man has a choice of be killed or be killed, most of the wiggers are going to choose to go ahead and die. But there's going to be enough of us to where, well, guess what? I mean, you know, the nigger can't survive by himself. Look what he's doing in Haiti. The beaner can't survive very well without the white man. Look what they do in Mexico. They have to live off of us like parasites. And when there's not any more of us, or hardly any more of us, we're not able to go ahead and even provide for our families, how are we going to provide for the nigger and the beaner? It's just like this health care thing that just went ahead and supposedly passed. I was trying to tell this nigger that it's going to be 5 years before they go ahead and pay out. Obongo is just going to go ahead and try to use it to go ahead and steal what's left from the white man, make him go ahead and buy health insurance, try to go ahead and create a tax on him. But guess what? He's not going to be able to do so. So it's when the white man ain't able to go, when the nigger ain't able to provide for himself, how's he going to provide for the nigger and the Jew and the beaner? And the answer is he can't. You have an economic recession. How is that going to be happening here? I mean, I could explain that to the nigger. I mean, you know, the nigger just sort of thinks that whitey will somehow provide for, you know, him, and the whitey owes him. You know what I mean? There's never been a nigger whelp yet here didn't think the white man owed him a living. The same way with the beaner. But that's not going to remain the case forever. So anyway, that's the two main things I want to talk to you about. The fight, you know, the dual seed line, Chris and Danny Civil War, and I think I covered it pretty well. It's a shame that the chat, you know, didn't really work all together. But, and I also want to talk about running for, you know, as a Republican candidate for senator and going up there to file this week. And that's what I do intend to do. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and cut it short at about 2 hours and say, Hail Victory, may Yahweh bless. Goodbye.